Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I'm Sarah.
And I am Mike. It is Wednesday, April 15th, 2026, which means today we are looking back at the biggest stories from yesterday, April 14th. This is episode 366, a whole leap year of episodes in the back.
It really is amazing. We have been doing this every day. And we have an incredibly packed show for you today. We are talking about a massive shakeup in the photo editing world, a huge betrayal of trust from a beloved backup service, Google cracking down on annoying web design, a treasure trove of bootleg concert tapes hitting the Internet Archive, and a really concerning look at how surveillance companies are dodging privacy laws.
Let us kick things off with our top story, which pulled in over 1,000 points yesterday. Blackmagic Design just dropped DaVinci Resolve 21, and they have introduced a dedicated photo page. If you're in the video world, you know DaVinci Resolve is the absolute gold standard for color grading. Hollywood uses it. Now they are bringing those exact same high-end tools to still photography.
This is a direct shot across the bow at Adobe Lightroom. For years, photographers have been stuck in layer-based workflows, but DaVinci uses a node-based system. You can build these incredibly complex color grades, use their AI tools like Magic Mask, and do non-destructive cropping, all on raw files from Canon, Sony, or even your iPhone. And the Hacker News community was absolutely buzzing about this.
Oh, totally. One commenter named RxSu pointed out that people were already using hacky workflows to edit raw photos in Resolve just to get access to these color tools. Video software has just been so much more progressive with things like relighting, film emulation, and halation, while the industry standard photo apps have felt stagnant.
There was a really fascinating debate in the comments about the market dynamics here too. Someone suggested that video software gets all the innovation because movies have $100 million budgets, while photography does not. But a videographer chimed in to correct that. They pointed out that while film budgets are huge, there are actually an order of magnitude more people making a professional salary as photographers. Think about every wedding, corporate event, and portrait session happening globally. The photo market is actually massive.
And that makes Blackmagic's pricing strategy so brilliant. The studio version is a one-time fee of $295, no subscription. And the free version is robust enough for 95% of users. Plus, as several people happily pointed out, it natively supports Linux. People are just so desperate to escape the Adobe subscription model, and this feels like a viable professional escape hatch.
It really does. But moving from a company giving users what they want to a company taking things away, our next story is about Backblaze. This one also hit 1,000 points, and man, people are furious. A blogger named Robert Reese posted an article titled, "Backblaze has quietly stopped backing up your data."
Yeah, this is a tough one. For a decade, Backblaze has been the darling of the tech community for their unlimited personal computer backup. Their whole pitch was, if it is on your hard drive, we back it up. But Robert noticed that his GitHub repositories lost their history because Backblaze silently stopped backing up .git folders. And then he realized his entire 383-gigabyte OneDrive folder was missing from his backup.
It turns out Backblaze pushed an update that quietly excludes popular cloud storage folders. OneDrive, Dropbox, Google Drive, Box, you name it. The release notes claimed this was an improvement to prevent performance issues and excessive data usage, but they never emailed users to warn them.
And the Hacker News comments were brutal. A user named Giuliano Zen said they are dropping Backblaze over this because their DOD lost a file that Dropbox accidentally overwrote. They thought Backblaze had it, but because of this silent policy change, the file was unrecoverable. Another user mentioned they are dropping Backblaze for their entire company.
The core issue here, which the community hammered home, is that sync is not backup. Bidirectional sync services like Dropbox are great for accessing files anywhere, but if a file gets corrupted or deleted on one machine, that deletion syncs everywhere instantly. Most of these services only keep deleted files for 30 days unless you pay extra. True backup means having a historical, disconnected copy.
Exactly. If Microsoft bans your account or a ransomware attack encrypts your synced folder, you need that Backblaze backup. By excluding these folders, Backblaze is essentially forcing users to choose between syncing their active work or backing it up. And doing it silently is what really burned through a decade of goodwill. It will be interesting to see if they reverse course after this massive backlash.
I hope they do. Transparency is everything with backups. Speaking of transparency and user experience, let us shift to our third story. Google's Search Central blog announced a new spam policy targeting back button hijacking. You know when you click a link from search results, realize it's not what you wanted, hit the back button, and the site traps you or redirects you to an ad? Google is finally going to penalize sites that do that.
It is about time. But what I loved about this thread on Hacker News is that it instantly turned into a massive venting session about every other keyboard shortcut that websites hijack.
Oh my goodness, yes. The complaints about Control F were everywhere. A user named Declan Roberts said, "No, I do not want to use your contextual search. I want to search for this word on this page."
To be fair, some developers pointed out that if a page is lazy loading millions of rows of data, the browser's native Control F will not find text that has not been rendered into the document object model yet. So custom search bars are sometimes necessary, but the implementation is usually so janky that it just frustrates users.
The other massive complaint was e-commerce sites hijacking Control Click or Middle Click. You are shopping, you want to open 5 products in new tabs to compare them, and the site forces you to open them in the current tab.
Right, and as one commenter noted, it is often because developers are using a div with an on-click event handler instead of a proper HTML link tag. The browser doesn't even recognize it as a link, so right-clicking to open in a new tab doesn't even give you the option. People were begging for a browser-level setting to prevent shortcut takeover. Someone even shared a custom script they wrote to forcefully pass certain keystrokes directly to the browser, bypassing greedy websites. It just shows how much friction exists in modern web design.
It really does. Let us take a breath and move to something a bit more joyful. Our fourth story is a piece from TechCrunch about thousands of rare concert recordings landing on the Internet Archive. A Chicago-based music superfan named Autumn Jacobs has been recording concerts since the 1980s. He has over 10,000 cassette tapes.
And because magnetic tape degrades over time, he agreed to let volunteers from the Internet Archive digitize his collection. They actually have a volunteer who drives to his house once a month to pick up boxes of tapes, plays them on vintage cassette decks, and converts them to digital. They've already uploaded about 2,500 of them, including a super rare Nirvana set from 1989, before they even released Smells Like Teen Spirit.
The Hacker News thread on this was pure nostalgia. The taper community is such a unique subculture. One commenter shared an incredible story about recording a famous electronic dance band in the 90s. He was standing right in the front row, holding a shotgun microphone, fully expecting to get kicked out by security. Instead, the lead singer looked right at him and gave him a huge grin.
I love that story. The commenter said he later got to meet the band backstage, and it turned out they had heard his bootleg and absolutely loved it. He said it was hilarious because YouTube's algorithm still occasionally recommends his own bootleg recording back to him 30 years later.
That is amazing. And it is worth noting that while bootlegging is technically a legal gray area, a lot of bands actively encourage it. A user chimed in to mention their project, relisten.net, which hosts audio for over 4,000 bands who have given explicit permission for non-commercial taping and sharing. It goes all the way back to bands like the Grateful Dead and Phish, who actually put clauses in their venue contracts requiring a dedicated space for tapers to set up their microphones. It is just a beautiful piece of internet preservation.
It really is the internet at its best. But for our final story, we are looking at the internet at its, well, maybe not its worst, but definitely its most dystopian. A user wrote a blog post titled, "Getting the Flock Out." They tried to use the California Consumer Privacy Act, or CCPA, to opt out of Flock Safety's domestic spying program.
For some context, Flock Safety makes automated license plate readers. You see them popping up in neighborhoods run by homeowners associations and used by local police departments. They log every car that drives by, tracking the make, model, color, and license plate.
So this user, who lives in California, wrote to Flock demanding they delete all information about their vehicle and family from their databases, citing the CCPA. Flock wrote back and denied the request. Their reasoning was fascinating. They claimed they are merely a service provider and processor. They said the customers, meaning the HOAs or the police, own the data. Therefore, Flock cannot delete it. They told the user to contact the organization that engaged Flock services.
Which, as the Hacker News comments pointed out, is a massive loophole in the legislation. Someone compared it to Amazon Web Services. If you want a comment deleted off Hacker News, you ask Hacker News, not AWS, even though AWS hosts the data. That makes sense for traditional cloud hosting.
But as a user named Valerio Zen pointed out, the AWS analogy completely breaks down here. Flock encourages its customers to pool their data into a nationwide federated searchable index. If you drive past an unmarked camera on a public street, you have absolutely no way of knowing which specific HOA or town leased that camera. So how are you realistically supposed to know who the data controller is to send your deletion request to?
Exactly. You cannot opt out if you don't know who is watching you. And Flock knows this. They are using the processor classification as a shield to build a massive nationwide surveillance network without having to answer to individual privacy requests. The author of the post mentioned they have not ruled out hiring a lawyer, and a lot of people in the comments are hoping they do. It feels like a case that really needs to be litigated to test the boundaries of the CCPA.
It is a perfect example of technology moving faster than the law. We will definitely keep an eye on that one to see if it develops into a larger legal battle.
Well, that covers it for today. From Hollywood color grading in your photo app to the fight over your license plate data, it was a busy day on the Orange site.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend or leave us a review. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Have a great day, everyone.